Hey, welcome to episode 371 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and I did not burn down my university. At least that's what the jury said. Today, Fantastic Four, 371 from December 1992. This Flame, This Fury by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. So Alicia has been kidnapped, and once again, the Fantastic Four have to go find her. Reed Richards is hard at work in Alicia's apartment on his transtemporal reflector. What does a transtemporal reflector do? What do you think it does? It reflects transtemporal... Okay, I don't know what it does. So I turn the page, and Reed says that the transtemporal reflector reflects light which originated in a given area and rebroadcast it in a manner that will allow them to view incidents from the past. I guess it's like a VCR for real life. So they turn it on, and they see the moment when Alicia was kidnapped by a watcher, Aaron, the evil watcher. Good old Aaron the Watcher from the crazy John Harkness issues of the Fantastic Four. Hard to believe he was brought back. Reed tells Puppet Master to stay put. The FF will go rescue Alicia. Back at FF headquarters, Reed is telling Ben, like Ben doesn't know who Aaron the Watcher is, that Aaron is a renegade watcher who likes to take a more aggressive, active role in things on Earth. And Ben replies, yeah, he's a real 90s kind of guy. Is that what the 90s were known for? Renegades? The only renegade I can think of from the 1990s is, Lorenzo Lamas. Roberta the robot receptionist tells Ben that he has a visitor. It's Sharon Ventura. Not much of a surprise. The former she thing keeps popping up in every issue recently. Kinda like she's become the thing stalker. She tells him they have a lunch date, but Ben has to break out the bad news. He's too busy for the lunch date. Reed heads off to find his wife, and when he does, she's putting on a new costume. And holy fuckity fuck, what a crazy outfit. This is absolutely the defining moment of the DeFalco-Ryan run. It's crazy Invisible Woman costume. It's the one that everyone remembers. If you've ever seen it, you'll never get it out of your mind. It's fucking crazy. I've posted pics over on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. Now, how do I describe this thing? Well, it's very revealing. Lots of flesh. Shows lots of Sue's arms and legs. There's a cutout in the middle showing her bare stomach. And the most famous part of all, the number 4 on her chest is cut out. And it shows off part of her boobs. All that progress that John Byrne made in the 1980s turning Sue into a respectable, strong female character has been undone in the blink of an eye by putting Sue into this trashy, Bimbo-esque outfit. I think the whole thing with Malice a couple issues ago was an excuse to make Sue look like a trashy whore, hoping it would sell more comics, and I don't think it worked out too well. Suddenly, the she thing doesn't seem so bad, does it? Reed doesn't have much to say other than, it's nice, and he changes the subject, asking where all the workmen are, who are supposed to be fixing the roof. Sue throws a fit and smashes the computer Reed was working on and yells at him, "You inattentive, inconsiderate, self-absorbed, rattle-headed jerk!" She's pissed off that he didn't have more to say about her outrageous new costume. Meanwhile, Franklin is watching his parents fight, and he's thinking that he'll do anything to stop them from fighting, and his eyes start to glow. Meanwhile, in orbit above Earth, Payabok and the Power Scroll and Devos the Devastator are scanning the ground, and they find Johnny Storm, and they prepare to launch an attack. And down on the ground, Johnny's at Empire State University, flying around, thinking about how he plans to quit the Fantastic Four, which he's been doing for, like, ever now, like, half a year. He lands, he starts to head toward class, back with Ben and Sharon. She tells Ben that she's sorry to hear about Alicia, and we'll see him when he returns. Ben is thinking, I ought to have my head examined. Sharon's a living doll, but I keep brushing her off. I'd hardly call this brushing her off. He's got to go rescue Alicia, who was kidnapped. He's not brushing Sharon off. As soon as Ben's gone, Sharon pulls a little walkie-talkie out and starts chatting with a mysterious bad guy. Most likely, based on his shadowy outline, it's Dr. Doom. Together, they're coming up with some kind of diabolical scheme. Ben finds Reed wearing this big crazy contraption on his head, which he says he's using to contact the man on the moon, namely Watu the Watcher. But he just ignores Reed. He's probably busy thinking up new what-if ideas. What if Sue Richards became a pole dancer? What if Sue Richards became a porn actress? What if Sue Richards became a dominatrix? What if she thing became a dominatrix? So Reed takes off the helmet, saying that it'll just be he and Ben. The Watcher is busy. Sue doesn't want to come, and he can't locate Johnny. He doesn't even think about giving Moon Knight a call. But, uh-oh, the door opens, and then they have help. Guess who's going to join them on their mission to rescue Alicia? Why, it's Sharon Ventura. And now she's got a new outfit, something a little less hoary. Make that a lot less hoary than Sue's new outfit. It's green and purple and has big shoulder pads. She's a real 90s kind of gal. Back with Johnny, he notices that cute girl who fussed at him a few days earlier when he was getting a little too rough with a bully. She introduces herself as Bridget O'Neill, and she says, "I'll be thanking you not to be addressing me with any degree of familiarity." She's kind of a cold bitch. And she's about to get even colder, as suddenly Payback swoops down and covers her in a block of ice. Johnny looks up and sees Payback and Devos together, saying, and they say they plan to destroy the Fantastic Four, starting with the Human Torch. Johnny flames on and he flies toward Payback, who creates an ice shield, which Johnny burns through. An ice shield, really not a good defense against the Human Torch. Devos fires some weapons but misses, and Payback starts tossing sharp shards of ice at Johnny. Also, shards of ice, not a very good weapon when you're fighting the Human Torch. The Torch is more concerned with Bridget O'Neill, who's frozen in that ice block. Instead of shooting a few flames her way to melt the ice, he decides to fly off, leading Payback and Devos away from her. Back at FF headquarters, Reed is outfitting himself, Ben, and Sharon with those oscillation belts. Yes, the same gadgets that helped them travel to the Innerverse. In 371 issues, is this the first time one of Reed's inventions that were used in one storyline and later showed up in another storyline? That's unusual. Normally these things are used once and they get forgotten about. Puppet Master is there, and he's concerned about Sharon's involvement, since she's competing for the thing's affections. I feel like in the issues between his appearance in FF300 and his next appearance in FF356, Puppet Master spent his time watching lots of soap operas, because he's become really obsessed with all this romantic stuff. He's like a chick. He also really wants to come along on this mission, but Ben jokes that he has to stay behind and water the plants. Now this is the rock monster he wants his stepdaughter to date? Oh my. So Reed, Ben, and Sharon enter Reed's teleportation machine. Yes, Reed now has a teleportation machine. I guess this means we'll never see the Fantastic Car or the Pogo Plane ever again, because he's got a teleportation machine. Unless, of course, the next writer forgets this invention exists. After they're gone, the Puppet Master thinks to himself that he has no intention of remaining on the sidelines. So they teleport to Canada, to this snowy place in the Rocky Mountains, and they find Aaron's lair, and pretty quickly they find Alicia strapped up to a table, unconscious. Reed warns Ben and Sharon not to touch her. She might be booby-trapped. Ironically, Sharon is a bit of a booby-trap herself, for Ben. So Alicia is doing her best Joan Rivers impression, and there's this big, weird cube floating over her, filled with stars and planets like a miniature universe in a box. Aaron shows up and says that's exactly what it is, a universe, a new universe, but hopefully not the new universe. I'm sure Tom DeFalco would love to bring back Kickers, Inc., but that seems doubtful. Aaron says that he hopes they like that little universe because they're going to be living in it. Back at Empire State University, Johnny flies back to Bridget and carefully melts the ice around her. Just then, Payback and Devos come back. They start shooting lasers and shit everywhere. Johnny yells at everyone to get Bridget to a doctor and to evacuate the campus. Evacuate the campus? How about Johnny just fly away from the campus to some place deserted instead of letting them all destroy the university? Johnny says nobody messes with the Human Torch and flies toward Devos and Payback, and then he gets shot in the back by some other laser from someplace. He falls to the ground. He gets up, wondering who that third attacker was, and he sees it's his wife, Lysha the Skrull. And she says, "This is how I want you, unfaithful wretch, on your knees." What? On his... What does she have in mind now? Was this something he refused to do when they were married? So Johnny's first thought is that Lijah is dead and this must be an imposter. Payabok and Devos are just hanging back and watching the domestic violence unfold. Payabok is enjoying it, but Devos is not. He just wants this to be over with, and he's thinking that once it's over, he's going to eliminate Payabok, too, for being a warmongering douche. Lijah is shooting these bioblasts at Johnny from her hands, and Johnny says that the real Lijah never had that power. Which is odd that he would say that, because he really didn't know much about his wife, because he thought she was Alicia in when they were married. Lijah says that Payabok just gave her this power so she could punish him for deserting her. Oh, that Payabok. He's like the Marvel Mitchelson of the Skrull Empire. He tries to hold her in a cage of flames, and she says that she's now Lijah the Laser Fist, and uses her powers to blow the cage of flames apart, and blow Johnny through a window in the library to the library, where a bunch of people are like, oh yeah, maybe the Human Torch was right, maybe we should evacuate. Johnny's had enough of this. He pulls out his FF flare gun and shoots it off, calling for backup. I guess that's why Tom DeFalco had Sue stay behind from that Aaron the Watcher mission. Back at FF headquarters, Agatha Harkness is back to take care of Franklin, and she's thinking that she sensed an inferno churning in the young boy. She notices the FF flare in the sky and mentions it to Sue, who runs off, saying, "It must be Johnny! What trouble is he in now?" Agatha thinks to herself, "Is it my imagination, or has Susan grown colder?" Well, considering the fact that she's hardly wearing any clothes now, she must be colder. But I don't think that's what Agatha meant. Now, Payabok and Devos are worried that the rest of the Fantastic Four will show up, so they better get to business and join with Lijah to attack Johnny all at once. He's getting weak, worried that he's about to be defeated, so he heats up to a Nova Strength flame. Far away, Sue notices the bright flash, and soon arrives at ESU to find Johnny laying in the middle of an empty field. All the trees and grass around him have been burnt up. They look around at all the buildings at ESU and notice that everything is on fire. Uh-oh, this is going to piss off Spider-Man. So the issue ends there with Johnny saying, "Look, look what I did to Empire State University." He's going to get expelled for this, for sure, right? So anyway, you can download other episodes of this podcast to iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan.